Well, thank you for joining us for the damage assessment with Maximo webinar. It's June 17th. It's 11 o'clock Pacific and 2 o'clock Eastern Time. Everybody except for the presenters is in listen-only mode. If you have a question during the session, and we encourage questions, please type it at the chat box. We'll have plenty of time for Q&A at the end of the session. I think we've got some great content today. Presenters today are going to be Mike Beasley, who's Vice President with Cohesive Solutions, and Richard Pike, who's the Consulting Practice Leader, Utility Services with Cohesive Solutions. On that note, I'd like to pass it on to Mr. Mike Beasley.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate you doing that, and good afternoon to most of you, and good morning to a few of you. Thank you for joining this webinar presented by Cohesive Solutions. As Ted mentioned, that both Richard and I will be presenting as predominantly Richard. I wanted to welcome you on behalf of Cohesive. I've been in the utility EAM market doing business in utilities for about 19 years and have had the good fortune of working with some very good companies that, you know, that focus in this business. I also wanted to just make a comment about Cohesive, where we've had the good fortune of growing to have the largest Maximo practice in the U.S. Predominantly, that business is in the energy sector, and of that, the subset where we participate most heavily is in the utility area. So we've got quite a number of subject matter experts, not only around Maximo, but how it applies to the utility industry. Both on the generation as well as on the distribution side of it, which is, of course, where today's webinar is focused. This webinar about storm damage assessment is part of a series that Cohesive is producing over the course of the summer. We did one that Richard presented back on May 20th, and it was a high-level overview of a project that we've got underway currently. And you'll note that it is an unnamed utility, and the purpose of that is just due to non-disclosure agreements that we have with the client, we're unable to use their name. Nonetheless, it is a real and active project right now where we're moving into the testing phase of the project, so we're well along on that. So Richard gave an overview of that project back on the 20th of May, and then today he's going to focus more on one aspect of that project, and that is around the storm damage assessment capabilities that have been configured or are being configured and tested at this point into that implementation. Next month in July, we'll have an overview around spatial, and be on the lookout for in your emails for that. The date has not yet been finalized, but again, it'll be in July, and then we'll have another webinar in August as well. And this is part of a series where Cohesive recognizes there's quite a bit of pent-up demand in the utility market for replacement of a lot of legacy and very old systems. And so the intent is to make people aware of not just Maximo, but Cohesive's participation in this segment of the market. And for folks that happen to be attending that have never used Maximo, because I know there's a mix of actual clients using the system that are on this webinar today, as well as some that are considering it. The goal is to help the folks that have never used it understand the power of Maximo and its configurability and how different it is from a lot of the legacy systems that you may be currently using. So with that, Ted, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks so much, Mike. Richard, I think you were going to address a little bit about the future application footprint.
Yes. So thank you, Ted. Let me add my welcome. I'm Richard Pike, Utility Practice Leader at Cohesive. Just a brief background, I have over 32 years from Duke Energy, primarily in transmission and distribution, and the technology areas within the utility. As Mike indicated, this is a follow-on and a deeper dive into one of the unique solutions that we employed at this particular utility. This utility is a mid-sized investor-owned utility with generation, transmission, and distribution with over 2 million assets that we're going to be tracking within Maximo. As far as this approach to damage assessment, it's important to understand just a little bit about the application footprint. So what you can see in this slide is that IBM Maximo has a very large work management footprint that also extends into supply chain, which we'll be talking about as we go through, and also into mobile with Maximo Anywhere. They also are using a legacy OMS Intergraph, which is targeted for future replacement, and it has a mobile component as well. So we'll talk about that as we go forward, because this solution was not adding any additional application to the footprint itself. So before we start talking about damage assessment, I think we're going to do a short poll, aren't we, Ted?
Absolutely. So just take a minute or two and, you know, low to high, what would you say the level of accuracy is of your assets and property reporting post a major storm, after a major storm? And we'll give everybody just about 5-10 seconds. I see some good answers coming in. And we'll go ahead and close up that poll. So I would say most people felt pretty good. We've got one person, but we definitely have some room for improvement. Interesting results. Thank you for sharing. And I'll turn it back to you, Richard.
All right. So the challenge that we were faced with this particular customer is their perception that their post-storm tracking of units of property, getting their assets straightened out, reporting their costs at the end of a storm was, in their words, broken, very cumbersome. And with the implementation of their new EAM system with Maximo, how could they use this new system to improve on the storm cleanup and tracking process? So in order to tee up this approach to the solution, let's talk just a minute about the components of doing damage assessment. So damage assessment is even from day-to-day events, not necessarily involving storms. And the process is I send a first responder out, they identify the damage, and if they can resolve it, everything's okay. But if they need additional work, need additional labor, they usually identify what those labor requirements are and what those additional materials are. They go into the warehouse, and ultimately I do a back-end process to put my assets back into place and restore my units of property. In the event that it's actually a storm, well, it's pretty much the same process. I just have more damage assessors going out and identifying where the problems are, repairing it if they can, and identifying what labor and material requirements are necessary. And then I still have the same challenge in the back-end process to make sure that everything, my GIS, my asset records, my units of property are all restored back to normal. When I get into the major storms, that's when it gets really complex. It's the same process, but at an extremely higher scale. So what is the approach that works? What is a way that I can keep track of everything in order that it makes it much easier on the back-end process? And this is the way that we looked at this particular problem and helped define the approach that we took. In each case, it's pretty much the same capture of information. It is just a matter of scale. On one end of the process, it's primarily using the OMS system and the GIS to be able to navigate and record outages. On the back end of the process, I'm primarily using the work management system, doing the asset system and the unit of property with the accounting system. So when I put those two together, I have a really good combination. However, most of the solutions that are out there tend to lean on the OMS and the GIS end with using existing systems and in some of the existing processes on the back end. What we wanted to do is try to maximize the efficiency on the work and asset side of it. So let's talk about the process and the approach that we took at this particular utility. We focused first on the normal day-to-day outages and looking at the efficiency of that process, and then looked at the scalability for larger storms. So, well, it looks like we're in time for a poll, Ted.
Yeah, we definitely want interaction with the audience. So, currently, what is your use of GIS in damage assessment? High, medium, or low? Got a lot of people answering. We'll give it about another 3 or 4 seconds. Great. Thanks for everybody's participation. So it looks like about 37% medium and about 64% low. Good interaction. Thank you. I'll turn it back to you, Richard.
Okay. Thank you. So let's kind of walk through the process. So in our approach here, the first responder goes out to investigate an outage. If they can resolve the outage or the damage, whether it's a car hits a pole or it's a particular storm that's come through, no Maximo work order is required. They're working straightforward into the OMS system. However, in the event that they're going to need additional crews, they're going to need additional material, their responsibility is on the mobile device to create a Maximo work order. The information that they're going to be capturing in the field are the OMS event number. They're going to capture an asset location. It doesn't have to be a specific asset location. And they're going to identify, just as they normally would, the labor and material required to resolve the outage, and, of course, any comments. They can do some additional things that were not in their capability using their existing OMS system. From a Maximo work order perspective, they're going to be able to add red line drawings, images, and be able to add comments to the field work order that will write back to the OMS ticket, reducing some of the duplication of effort. So when they enter the OMS event number associated on the work order, it's going to create an integration that's going to begin to write those remarks over to OMS and keep it updated as any additional remarks are sent over. So let's take a kind of a pictorial walkthrough. These screens are built on Maximo Anywhere. However, we're actually deploying Maximo Anywhere. We're doing every place screens, but Anywhere is actually being deployed. So in their normal day-to-day work, they're going to be using Maximo Anywhere. As soon as they're called, they're going to do an interrupt on the existing work, and they're going to arrive on the scene, assess the situation, and be able to create a work order in the field on their tablet. They're going to select whether it's a non-storm outage or it's a weather-related outage. As we've talked about, they're going to enter in the OMS event number on the work order. This is going to create the link. They're going to be able to enter in the asset or location ID. This could be a pole number. This could be a meter number. This is going to tell us where the damage has occurred. This is going to link to an asset record with a spatial link so that we will know spatially where this particular event has occurred. We're also going to be able to add attachments, such as pictures, red lines. We've added a new tab in the mobile environment, and this is something that we need to talk about. So as soon as they've created the work order, a new tab is going to be available to them called Damage Assessment. And it's on this tab that they're going to collect the damage details. Now, normally, a crew will enter that textually or if you don't have the mobile devices, they're going to radio in what those resource requirements are. We've taken this a step further and asked them to click a button and pick a damage kit. This damage kit then would describe poles, wires, equipment damage that's occurred at the site. A kit is a collection of labor and materials, not unlike a compatible unit. And in fact, it is actually using the compatible unit library to be able to store the components of labor and material as a part of the kit. It's not actually going to do a CU estimate. It's just using it as a vehicle to capture that information. So rather than typing it in, they're going to pick multiple items and quantities, and essentially creating a smart list of the damage that occurs out in the field. They can modify this until they feel like it adequately describes the equipment damage out in the field. Underlying this is also the labor. They can also add the work log, standard functionality in the mobile device, and expand it based on the capabilities of their current mobile system. When this work order is saved, it's going to create the OMS link and write the remarks over to the OMS ticket. Key results is that that work order now has a spatial location. It's tied to an OMS event. It has a material list. It has attachments. And it can be assigned to a designer, in that that designer now can have access to begin the process of the as-built. So we're going to take a look just a minute about now how does it look to the dispatcher, the system operations group, on a day-to-day basis that's managing those field crews. But first, I believe, Ted, we've got a poll.
We do. We're kind of interested to know, you know, what you're using for field work order execution or management today. Give us, again, about 10, 15 seconds, and really appreciate your response. Seeing some good answers coming in. And I think we'll close it up and skip to the results. So we've got about 46% other. We've got about 34% Maximo, Ventus, and then Click Software. So thanks so much for your feedback on that. Richard, I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you. So from a system operations perspective, when that work order is created in the field, they're going to be able to see through a Maximo portlet all those damage assessment work orders. And in fact, if they prioritize the damage assessment as a high, we can even use the portlet to display it in a red. We'll display it in a sorted manner so that they can see which ones were created more recently than the others. And as they process through this list of field orders, they're going to be disappearing from this portlet. They're going to be able to open up each of these work orders, review them, review the various attachments, review the remarks if there are any additional crews that are needed, such as tree crews that in this case are managed outside of Maximo. They're going to be able to see it spatially on the map and any other related work by using the Maximo spatial product and any other work that's in the vicinity. They'll be able to advance this to approved. And when it's approved, just Core Maximo, it's going to take the material list from the damage assessment kits and create actual material reservations. They're going to manually assign this in the OMS system because we don't have the integration to do the OMS. They're going to make the assignment to whatever crew is available, to be able to perform the repairs, enter it into Maximo, and dispatch it all from the system operations with what I would call a simple assignment, not using a scheduling application such as ARM or Qlik or even Maximo Scheduler. Let's take a different perspective. Let's take the perspective from the crew that's now receiving the assignment and going out to perform the work. But I think first we've got another poll.
We do, and it's the last one. What is the use of work management and damage assessment in your organization? Would you say that's high, medium, or low? We'll leave it open for just a few more seconds. Thanks for everybody responding. Interesting. Thanks again for the feedback. We've got about 70% as low, about 20% medium, and 10% high. Good results, good feedback. Thank you. And I'll turn it back to you, Richard.
Okay, so far we've been talking about some of the front end of capturing the damage assessment, and now we're going to move forward into how the back end process is facilitated. So the crew has an OMS ticket. They're still operating within two systems in this case because of the desire not to integrate to a legacy OMS system. So it's assigned to the OMS event, but they also have their Maximo work order on the same device. They'll retrieve the work order. They'll be able to see it in the map view since it's got a spatial component to it. They'll be able to see the material list that was created from the damage assessment kits. They'll be able to view the specific attachments that were made in the Maximo Anywhere environment, including the red line, which may define the area of the damage covered by that particular work order. Review the comments, and certainly add any additional comments that would update over to the OMS system as well. And from this approach, the completions were going to be separate simply because we need to maintain the integrity of the customer outage minutes per customer in the OMS system, where we may still have additional work happening out in the field. So at the moment that work order was created by the first responder, in addition to going to the system operation and having visibility there, we're making an assignment of that work order to the design supervisor. The design supervisor had the responsibility in the current process to assign it to a design technician. That design technician then would be responsible for reviewing and completing the as-built design associated with that particular damage. They would have access to the full information provided by that first responder immediately after that they were out there on the site and could begin the process of as-built or wait until they get the actuals back. So, key components of this approach is that I create a damage assessment work order at each damage location, which could be a tap, could be one pole, could be many poles, really depending on the person who's doing the assessment as to what comprises an appropriate damage assessment point. We're sending the remarks to the OMS system. We're using work orders as they do in a normal day-to-day basis with assignment and completion process based on doing the as-building process through the design application, and as-building each of those individual work orders. And that works pretty well for the day-to-day, and it works pretty well for the small storms. What happens when it escalates to a large storm? Here when we get to a large storm, we add another dimension. The other dimension that we add here is that we've got a storm-specific accounting by a particular division or work area, however it's divided up in your organization. Here it's called a work area. And we're going to create a parent work order with that specific storm accounting. And that way, we can then relate any of the damage assessment work orders that are created in the field to that storm-specific accounting and through a parent-child relationship. So if there's a damage assessment, it's going to say, is there a storm parent work order created? If there is, then relate me to that storm parent. Provide the accounting from that storm-specific parent work order and supply it down to each of the damage assessment work orders so that everything rolls up to the right accounting, and within Maximo, I can use the core functionality to roll up real-time estimated cost and estimated materials. The storm parent work order also provides a placeholder for all those logistic charges, such as hotel rooms, bulk material charge outs, and so on. With the parent and child relationship, I've got the access to all those internal Maximo roll-ups. From a materials management perspective, every time I create a damage assessment work order, it's creating a reservation. But we're doing something unique on this side of the fence as well. So when we create these damage assessment material line items, they're having a specific type of reservation, a way of identifying the reservations created by a storm, for example, apart from the normal day-to-day, so that I can include them or exclude them, or I can run reports to understand the magnitude of the material demand. I may not use those reservations to actually issue material, except in the small cases. I can issue it based on work order, or I can use them to help me understand what bulk material I need to have prepared in advance. At the time that each of those work orders are created, I don't have to wait. That's one of the key things. The sooner that information flows, the better. And I can also run and sort it by time so that I can see how much material was created or identified early and how much is current. So here's a kind of an example of being able to see those based on a reservation type separate from the normal demand. Now let's look at it from the processing on the back end of the as-building and the unit of property reporting. So as I mentioned, the designer would be assigned to this particular work order and assigned to create the as-built. But in a major storm, I've got a whole heck of a lot more of these particular areas. Still the same process, doing an as-built design. However, one of the things we did is design a way to where I don't have to send all the different as-built designs to PowerPlan. What we would do is we create a parent design as-built and collect the data from all the various design as-builts associated with the storm, collect them as one, and send them to PowerPlan in one bulk. However, I do have the discrimination of having those individual damage assessment as-builts. Okay, so that's the approach that we took, to try to use their existing EAM system, their legacy systems, and provide a way to leverage the capability of those systems and provide a better way of doing the damage assessment and ultimately the back-end processing from a storm. Ted, I guess I'm going to turn it back to you to look at the questions that we might have.
Great. Thanks, Richard. That was great content. Got one question to start with. What do you see as the future of using GIS in the field?
Oh, I think that's definitely a high potential. We were not able to leverage in this particular implementation the full capability of a Maximo spatial in the field. But if you can actually see and have an interactive GIS, and we've done this with one other client, but to where you can look at your assets and be able to pull the asset information into those work orders in the field and be able to see those GIS work orders in the field, it's going to really improve the process in the field.
Excellent. Thank you. Next question, how would you implement integration with an OMS?
Good question. We were limited with a legacy OMS system in this case, but I see the real potential, and we've put kind of the hooks in place in this implementation to be able to send assignment information, to be able to send en route activity, GIS locations, as well as to complete the outage tickets all through from a Maximo perspective.
Excellent. Great answer. Thank you, Richard. Last question we've got, but guys, don't be shy. How does the approach that you describe work when, you know, a typical storm escalates to really disaster mode?
Good question, and that's always going to be the case. There's always going to be a case where you just exceed the capabilities with additional crews coming in. You don't have the mobile devices. You don't have access to the systems. However, as we've talked about this approach, the longer you can track each of those damage assessments before you have to stop, the more information you're going to get. So one of the things that we said in our approach is, even if all you do is to be able to capture a work order at the location where the damage occurs and textually capture some information without doing even the damage assessment, you are one step ahead of the game, really miles ahead of the game.
Great answer. Thank you for sharing. Got another good question coming in. How is the timesheet entry handled with the field work order having both an OMS and Maximo work order open at the same time?
Okay, good. Good question. So the way we approach timekeeping versus OMS versus the Maximo Anywhere is Maximo Anywhere will be the place for time entry for all systems. So if it's an OMS work, they're going to just add an additional line for what they would be using as their blanket outage work order and just an additional entry. So everything would be captured in the Maximo Anywhere application, even if they didn't have a work order.
Makes good sense. I think we've got time for maybe one more question. Don't be shy, guys. You've got some pretty good resources here, to say the least. Well, it doesn't look like we have any other questions coming in at this time. Since we usually always get this at some point, yes, we will be sending out a link to the recorded version of the session to everyone that attended, and thank you again for that. We'll also be sending out an abbreviated version of the presentation, and feel free to share that with anyone else in your organization that might gain benefit from the content today. Again, Mike, Richard, thank you so much for your presentation and to everyone that attended. I appreciate your time, and we look forward to talking to you on an upcoming webinar or before then. Have a great weekend.